This morning we're going to be in the book of Acts, a few places, Philippians, Romans, St. John, and Revelation. If you want to take your four or five thumbs and stick in there and find your place, well, Acts, Philippians, Romans, John, and Revelation. First scripture is going to be in Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 1 through 18. This is a conversion of Saul, who became Paul after he experienced Jesus Christ. The title of the lesson this morning will be Things Happen When You Meet Jesus. You know, when you experience Jesus Christ in your life, there's going to be a change. There's going to be a difference. There is going to be evidence of something, that new creation that has taken place. Things happen when you meet Jesus. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 18. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. And he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. So Saul here, he was still threatening the church. He was still persecuting Christians, and he was going to the high priest to get a letter to take with him to Damascus, that he could bring these people, these Christians, back. Verse 3 says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Verse 5, and he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And verse 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. Verse 11, and the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Verse 12, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Verse 14, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in thy way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. This is the story of the conversion of Saul, who later will become Paul. First thing I want to point out that happened to him as he was on the journey to Damascus. You got to remember that Saul was a very religious man. These things he was doing in persecuting the Christians, he was actually thought he was doing acts for God. That this these Christians had come out and they were actually teaching. They thought they were teaching against God. And he thought he was doing what God wanted him to do. So he was a very religious man, very well educated in the Scriptures, but he was blinded. But look what happened. In verse 3, it says, "As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven." That light that gave him the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's one thing will happen when you meet Jesus, that light will shine in your life. You will realize your spiritual eyes will become open to the message of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a light that comes on. You may not see a physical light like Paul saw here, but there will be a light. All of a sudden, that light will shine into the darkness of your life, into this dark world, and your eyes will be opened. Look what happens in verse 4 after this happens to him. He says he fell to the earth. He fell to the earth. In other words, you're going to, when you experience Jesus Christ, you're going to humble yourself. And he fell and not only being afraid, but I believe in a humble attitude. And look what else happens in verse 4. And he heard a voice. He heard a voice. You say, "Brother Dennis, are you gonna actually hear the voice of God?" No, but you're going to hear the Holy Spirit, that Spirit of God that is seeking you, that is seeking each one of us, when that is not your conscience. That is the Spirit of God that is trying to draw you to Him. And that voice that you're hearing is God Himself through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That Holy Spirit is calling you and drawing you to Him. Look what else happens, verse 5. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" When you experience Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's going to make you ask questions. You're going to be wanting to know, "Who art thou?" You're going to want to know more about Him. You're going to want to know more about this Jesus that you're experiencing. It'll make you have a desire to get into God's Word, a desire to find out who Jesus is. So it's going to make you ask questions. What was another question that he asked? In verse 6, he says, "What will thou have me to do?" You're going to want to do something for Jesus Christ when you experience Jesus Christ in your life. Amen? You're going to want to change your want to. Wasn't that what you said a few weeks back? "Jesus, change my want to." And you're going to be asking Him, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do now? I give you my life. You are now Lord of my life. And you're going to ask a question, "What do you want me to do?" Look what else happens in verse 6 there. He trembling and astonished. Trembling and astonished. I mean, there he was. He fell on his knees. He fell to the earth. He was trembling and he was astonished at the power of God. You know, I can remember when I accepted Christ as a young child. I can remember like it was yesterday. But I can also remember in growing up and my eyes becoming blinded to the things of God. And when the world got a hold of me, I was like Paul here, I had scales on my eyes. But I remember that day when those scales were taken off and I realized what was missing in my life. And that light that shone in and that darkness that it had infiltrated my life. And it made me fall to my knees. And it made me tremble and astonished at the power and the glory and the might. And it made me have a very, very humble heart. Because see, when you experience Jesus, you're a changed person. When you experience Jesus, you don't walk out of a room or leave a place or get up the next day and you're not the same person. You're different. There's something different about you. When you meet Jesus, it also affects other people. Look what happens in verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him, they stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. They stood speechless. When people see Jesus Christ and the change that has come up on you, they can't explain it. It leaves them speechless. And I'm not talking about a religious experience. I'm talking about when you meet Jesus. There's a difference. Amen? When you meet Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and you make Him Lord of your life, it leaves the people around you speechless. They don't know what to say. Look what else happens in verse 16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Things that happen when you experience Jesus Christ, there's also going to be some suffering to go with it. And that's where a lot of people, they get discouraged and they fall away. They quit living for the Lord. And they think that meeting Christ is going to fix all their problems in their life. That is absolutely not true. But you're still going to have problems, but those problems are going to be little bitty problems. Amen? Because you've met Jesus. You're letting Jesus live His life through you. Jesus is handling them problems. So those big mountains, to Jesus, they're nothing. They become little molehills. But there's going to be suffering that takes place. You're going to suffer for His name. It says, for my name's sake. And you're going to suffer for how much word that you have in you. Look what verse 17 says. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul. Notice he went from being afraid of him and fearing him to calling him brother, a brother in Christ. His brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in thy way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. When you meet Jesus, when you have an encounter with Jesus, you look at the world with a new set of eyes. He said that thou mightest receive thy sight. You see things, you see this world in a different way that you didn't see before. Why? Because you're looking through the eyes of Jesus Christ, that Spirit that lives within you. And what happens? You're filled with the Holy Ghost. When are you filled with the Holy Ghost? When you have that encounter, when you meet Jesus Christ and make Him as your Lord and Savior, that is when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ. What else happens? Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you have an experience with Jesus Christ, that peace of God that comes upon your life, you cannot explain it to other people. There's a peace that passeth all understanding. You can't explain it. No matter how hard you want to and how bad you try, you cannot explain it to someone that has not experienced it. Amen? It's a peace that comes upon you knowing that everything is made right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. You have that peace within you. That peace that just settles in you. That peace that was in that room the other night. That come into that room and laid peace upon his heart and upon his life. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, there was peace there. That same peace can come upon you when you experience Jesus Christ. And look what also it says. It'll keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. It'll keep that peace in your heart. It'll keep that peace in your mind, knowing who you are in Jesus. And that's what's wrong with a lot of people today. You don't know who you are in Jesus. You need to find out. You need to find out who you are in Jesus. Who are you? You've got that peace of God. That peace in your heart that'll guard your heart and guard your mind. Now, look, another thing that can happen when you meet Jesus in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to read verses 14 through 16. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. What is another thing that happens? It said verse 14, you're led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will immediately start leading you in your life. Look what it says in verse 16 there, though. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That Spirit that comes upon you, the power of the Holy Spirit that you have within you, that same Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. That's why we talked about a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last week, is when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that Spirit that comes to live within you, it wants to talk and commune with the Heavenly Father. That's why you have that desire to pray. Even though you may not know how to pray, you have that desire to pray. You have that desire in your heart to learn more about Him and His Word. That Spirit bears witness. That Spirit that's within you bears witness that you are a child of God. Another thing that happens there in that passage of Scripture, you don't have that spirit of fear anymore. You've been set free. You're free in Jesus Christ. You don't have that spirit of you have a spirit of freedom, that bondage that you experienced, you've been set free from it. Another thing that happens when you meet Jesus, people will notice change. Heard a man say at a funeral the other day that you can't tell whether I'm saved or you're saved or who's saved. That's not biblical. People will notice that there's a change in you. Do you not realize that? People will notice that there's a change. Let's go back to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. It's talking about Peter and John here. The people sees their boldness that they had. They had been persecuting them, and they were telling them not to speak in the name of Jesus. But they kept doing it. They knew that they were unlearned and ignorant men, that they were uneducated. They didn't know a lot about the Scriptures. And look what it says. And they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that what? That they had been with Jesus. When you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, when you meet the Lord and Savior of your life, people are going to know, because they're going to see a change in you. They're going to know that you've been with Jesus. Amen? And if other people can't tell it, then there's something wrong. You need to be examining your heart and your life, because people are to be able to tell that you have been with Jesus. There has been a change. Look what else happens. Acts chapter 16. Verse 25. Acts 16, verse 25. It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Now, who's Paul? This is where we started out. He used to be Saul that was persecuting the Christians. His name has been changed to Paul. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. When you have an experience with Jesus Christ, people need to hear you. They need to hear you pray, and they need to hear you singing praises to God. Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. People will notice you've been with Jesus. People in your house will be affected. Amen. People are to be able, your spouse, your kids are to be able to tell that you've been with Jesus. They are to be able to tell that you have a relationship with your Lord and Savior. And it will affect your entire house. Why do you know what kind of life I lived for 20-something years? 25 years. Wasn't a very good one. I didn't set a good example for my children. But when I met Jesus and my eyes were opened, I was able to lead every one of my children to the Lord. Jeremy shared one night coming home. I didn't know this, just for a few weeks ago. He said that when he'd come in late night, their dad would be sitting there praying. Sitting there reading God's Word. And I never would say a word to him. And he said, you know, Dad, he said, that was the best thing you could have done for me. Seeing you read God's Word. Hearing you praying when I walked in. See, when you got Jesus, and you got Jesus in here, when you've experienced Jesus, it's going to change your household. It's going to, people are going to see it. Your family's going to see it. Your house is going to be affected. John chapter 10. This is a passage of Scripture about the Good Shepherd. John chapter 10, we're going to read verses 3 and 4. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. If you've had an experience with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He knows you. You're one of His. You're one of His sheep. And look what it says there. You hear His voice. And He calleth His own sheep by name. If He knows you, if you know Him as Lord and Savior, He knows your name. You're one of His sheep. He's going to call you by name. My last scripture has to do with names. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. Do you realize there's a new and special name waiting for you? Do you realize that? I don't know if this is a name that He's going to give us or if it's a name that's going to be on a stone that He gives to us that we're going to call Him. But I know one thing, it's very special. Because if you study up about this and where this comes from, this passage of Scripture here that we're getting ready to read in Revelation 2, verse 17. Back in biblical times there in Asia Minor, in that area, that was a custom. If you had a very special friend, you would take an ivory stone or a block or something, some type of stone, and you would either carve some initials in it or a name in it and give it to that very special friend that you had. And they would cherish that. It was very important to them. They realized the importance and the significance of that, how special of a connection that two friends had because of that stone. Revelation 2, verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith in the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. I will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth. Man, is that powerful? Is he going to hand you a stone one of these days, and there's going to be a special name written on it. Whew. Look what it says there in that verse. To him that overcometh. How can we be an overcomer? It's not by our words, by our actions, but it's by the blood of the Lamb. That's the only way that we can be an overcomer. He says, I'll give you to eat of that hidden manna. That speaks of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you've met Jesus, if you've had an experience with Jesus Christ, you're feeding on that manna. It's that Holy Spirit, that Spirit of Christ. One of these days, He's going to hand you a stone with a new name written on it. Have you experienced Jesus? Or maybe you were like Saul. You were just a bunch of religious stuff that you're going through. When he met Jesus, things changed. Amen? When you meet Jesus, things will change. Things will change. There will be evidence. It's not about works. There will be evidence of the fruit in your life. Fruit of eternal things. Things that brings glory and honor to God and His kingdom. Amen. If you're here this morning, you've never experienced Jesus Christ, He's seeking you. The God of this universe, Lord and Savior, is seeking to have a personal relationship with you. He is seeking you, and He's calling. And if the Spirit of God is speaking to you, it's that same voice that Saul heard. See, there were some of those men that heard it. They heard a voice, but they couldn't understand it. Spiritual eyes have to become open. Spiritual ears have to be open before you can hear and understand. But if He's calling to you, all you have to do is to understand it is accept it. Step out in faith, and you'll be amazed at what God can do.